The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Stephen Powell, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's Bangorondy and Wincanton on Wednesday afternoon. We've also got evening action on the all-weather poly track at Kempton. So three meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio once again by Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
Great to be here. I've only just got over Mr. Marker's fall at the last fence today, yesterday.
Yes.
I'm convinced he was coming back to win, but it wasn't a happy afternoon for Brian Harding.
No, tricky afternoon, wasn't it, for Brian Harding? Let's start with some news, John, as we usually do. Some big news as well this morning as we record this. Last year's World Hurdle winner, more of that, confirmed as a non-runner now this time around. He bled a couple of weeks ago, didn't he? The doubts have been flying around since then, and it was confirmed on Tuesday morning that he won't run this year. In fact, I don't think he'll run again now till next autumn. So it's a big blow, really, isn't it?
Well, it's a big blow, obviously, to Connections and to John Joe O'Neill and to a certain extent to AP McCoy. But there had been sort of worries about more of that earlier in the season. And, you know, broken blood vessels, you simply can't go, in my view anyhow, for a race like the World Hurdle with the possibility that the horse is prone to doing that. So I'm not surprised, and I think it's a very sensible decision.
Yes, from what I've read as well this morning, he's in good form. He's okay with himself at the moment, but the festival's just going to come too soon, so they're just going to wait until next year, which is the right thing to do, isn't it? So,
I think it's absolutely correct. He sort of questioned whether the horse would run about a fortnight ago, then said he was improving a bit, then we had this apparent blood vessel problem. So, yeah, you've got to give him time to recover. He's a really good horse, and, you know, whatever he may do or have done over hurdles, he looks to be a sort who ought to make a top-class chaser, so he must be given time.
Yeah, they did talk about sending him over fences perhaps this year, didn't they? But they stayed over hurdles and... yeah, we'll see what happens with him in the future. The World Hurdle Market, now we have 5-1 joint favourites, by the way, John. Safir de Roer and Zarkander are 5-1 joint favourites. Annie Power, 8s. Rock and Ruby, another one, 8-1. 10s for Lieutenant Colonel and 12s or bigger for the others. So it's an interesting race. If Annie Power goes, well, ends up going to the World Hurdle and you've got Zarkander and Safir de Roer, it could be quite a belting race, couldn't it, really?
It certainly could. I think the question of whether Annie Power does run in the World Hurdle is the crucial one. And being a supporter of Safir de Roer, I feel that 5-1 for Sam Tristan Davis's mount at the moment is quite a favourable price, because if it becomes clear that Annie Power's going for the Mayor's Hurdle and not for the World Hurdle, then I can't help thinking that price is going to shrink.
No, I agree. It won't be 5-1, will it?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Let's revisit the Champion Chase Market as well, John. We talked about this on yesterday's podcast. Since then, you'd said yesterday that you were kind of looking to take on Sprinter Sacra, if you like. Since then, Nicky Henderson's been rather bullish about his superstar, saying that he's got him in seriously good shape, which is a worry to everything else in the race, surely.
It certainly is a worry. And, you know, is he asking for trouble, Nicky Henderson? That's what I say to myself. I mean, he seems, as you say, to be very bullish that Sprinter Sacra is recovering and is virtually back to his very best. Now, if that includes the enthusiasm and the sparkle which he has shown in the past, my goodness me, we are in for a worry supporting anything else in the race. But I thought that the spark was not there at Ascot, and that's why I've opposed. There's also a stat, quite a good stat, which says that if a horse is beaten when well fancied in the race before the Queen Mother Champion Chase, then the stat show that horse will not win. And, you know, if he in fact runs rather poorly, if then Nicky Henderson is going to have to eat his words a bit. But he is very bullish, and obviously the horse has been impressing connections at home, and so you've got to take that at face value. Similarly with Sire de Grugy. And we've also got an absentee, haven't we?
Yes, Hinterland confirmed on Tuesday morning there's an absentee. Paul Nicholls reporting that he bled, so he won't be going to the race.
Yes, well, I think Dodging Bullets is very much Paul Nicholls' champion chase star, and in a way, he's a bit of the forgotten horse with all this talk about Sprinter Sacre and Sire de Grugy and co, because he's done everything right, and KP said he looked a very relaxed horse when last seen, and an excellent winner. In the past, he hasn't done anything after New Year, but that could change, and, you know, Dodging Bullets certainly shouldn't be overlooked.
No, he's won the trial races that usually contribute to the champion chase, hasn't he?
So, exactly. He seems a much improved 2 mile chaser this season.
3-1 for Sprinter Sacre, by the way. Sire de Grugy 100-30, 9-2 for Dodging Bullets, 6s for Champagne Fever. Mr. Mole, who'd have thought he'd have been anywhere near the picture? He's 8-1, 14s for Hidden Cyclone, and 16s or bigger for the others. So. And you mentioned Simply Ned yesterday, John. You haven't changed your mind there. He's 16.
No, I thought of 25-1. He was a good each way bet to possibly get into the frame. But Champagne Fever remains my choice for the race.
Okay. Anything else with regards to the Cheltenham Festival, John, on your mind that you want to talk about?
Well, I've still got to find out whether one of my favourite horses is actually running in the Grand Annual or one of the handicaps. That's Upsilon Bleu. If he does appear for the Grand Annual, I think he's got a fair chance. And Nicky Richards, I say again, you know, the star horse at Greystoke is Eduard. Now, Eduard has done nothing wrong, Mark. He was narrowly beaten by Many Clouds first time out at Carlisle. Possibly a little bit unlucky not to win on that day. And then the Peterborough Chase, again, extremely unlucky. He was going like the winner two out. He just put down and lost momentum two out, and he allowed wishful thinking to get back up again on the run-in. But that's the only couple of occasions. And the word from Greystoke is that, you know, he will be spot on for Cheltenham. So I say look out for Eduard and the Ryanair.
There you go. Look out for Eduard then. And with that, we'll leave it there and we'll move on to Wednesday's action. We've got racing from Wincanton, Bangor and Kempton. And John's got a best bet for us at each of the three meetings.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, so we'll go through these in chronological order. The 3:10 at Wincanton is the first race we're going to look at. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over the extended 2.5 miles. We have a field of five here, and you couldn't really rule out any of the five, John. It's a competitive little race. Which ones do you like?
Yes, I thought it was a competitive little race. You know, only five runners, and people might say, what on earth is Button doing, picking out a race with five runners only? Actually, runners are not in enormously big supply.
Right, it's the story of the day, isn't it?
Either of the jump meetings on Wednesday afternoon. But certainly three of the five got a big chance. Question mark horse, I think, is Atlantic Roller. Atlantic Roller, Paul Nicholls and Sam Justin Davis. I mean, you know, basically in times gone past, and I suppose to a certain extent this year. Horses trained by Paul Nicholls at Wincanton, they are regular winners, go in virtually or more often than they lose. But Atlantic Roller's been a bit disappointing in my view. Unseated rider went a well-back favourite last time. That was at Wincanton and was beaten the time before. Excuses made on that occasion that perhaps he needed the race. But I think there are question marks about Atlantic Roller. However, you know, with connections being so keen on winners at Wincanton, obviously that horse will have lots of support. The one I like is Robert Walford's horse in this race, Sun Wild Life. Robert Walford is a pretty fly trainer. His father, of course, was very fly. Tim Walford, up at Sheriff Hutton, next door to the Easterbys, to Mick Easterby, a really fine trainer, a good horseman himself, and both his sons, Robert and Mark, have made a successful start to their training careers. Mark up in the north, taking over from Dad, and Robert Walford down in the West Country. Now, this horse, I thought, showed considerable improvement, Mark, last time, and I believe he had headgear on for the first time.
Yes, the cheek pieces went on for the first time.
And hopefully he has cheek pieces again. He showed, I thought, much improved form at Taunton, got up and easily beat a legal flow by a comfortable four lengths or so. Wasn't disgraced the time before either. He was second at Exeter to quite a decent animal called Trick Away. I think he's on the up, and I think he could be a more genuine and reliable customer. So I'm pretty keen on Robert Walford's Sun Wild Life. The others, well, I don't really think much about Mujik Bourget, although you shouldn't write off anything trained by Venetia Williams, but he's got improvement to make on that quite hefty defeat at Chepstow, and I also think that Flaming Charmer has probably got a lot to do, but lurking at the bottom, we do have a rather appropriately named horse who could easily get into the frame, possibly Flora. Now, possibly Flora is a mare who went very close to beating me and Ben in that listed mare's race at Cheltenham last spring, and he's trained by Richard Wallacott. And Richard Wallacott, you know, specialises in this sort of customer. Has not run since that race at Cheltenham, but she's obviously useful. And were there to be market support for possibly Flora, it might be well possible that that mare's going to run very well. I'm going to stick with Robert Wilson's horse here, Sun Wild Life. But it's an interesting contest.
Yeah, Sun Wild Life then for John. Keep an eye on possibly Flora in the market in the 3.10. The 3.55 at Bangor is where we go next. This is a Class 4 handicap chase. It's over the extended 3 miles. We have 7 of them in the lineup here, John. A few of them look quite interesting as well. Good to know. Has been knocking on the door, a previous course and distance winner as well. You've got Benny's Well, who arrives here with a penalty to defy after winning last time, and a few others in there that you could state a decent case for. So how do you see the 3.55 going?
Yes, I was at Carlisle when Benny's Well jumped and galloped on really well all the way to the line. That was just over a week ago. He beats quite a decent horse who I think will win fairly soon, called Ravensbrook. And Billy Cuckoo, who I had napped on Tuesday afternoon, was a close third in that contest. The trouble with Benny's Well, I think, Mark, is that back-to-back wins are not necessarily up his street. Carries a £7 penalty. If he jumps as well as he did at Carlisle, he's obviously going to be hard to beat. And Bangor's quite a good course for front runners. So, you know, Sue Smith's horse is definitely in with a big chance. The one I like is the one at the top, Good to Know, for a number of reasons, not least the fact is trained by Richard Lee. Now, I haven't known a season when Richard Lee's horses have been in such consistently good form throughout the campaign. He's had a really good year, and Jake Greenall's in the saddle, and as you said, Good to Know appears to be knocking at the door. He's bitten quite comfortably at Warwick by Take It Mick. But in a way, that was a race that was, slightly better class than this one. Also, the ground was absolutely horrid at Warwick that afternoon. And I don't think it was any disgrace to finish second with some quite decent horses behind. Has shown good form at Bangor, Good to Know. Richard Lee's horses generally do, actually. And has, I think, a course and distance success. Also won over 2.5. And, generally seems in good shape. So I thought Good to Know had got a very decent chance of pegging back Benny as well. Akimoto could, on a day, show some decent form. Has a Doncaster win to his name, but ran pretty poorly at Doncaster last time out. Lurking at the bottom, Ben Pauling has got a runner. And that is Silver Scotch, who, you know, has actually shown ability. And the stable have been in very good form, so I wouldn't discount that one. But I'm going to go for the one at the top, Good to Know.
Okay, Good to Know for John in the 3.55. And the final race we're going to look at is the 6.45 at Kempton Park. This is a Class 2 condition stakes. Over a mile, we have six of them in the lineup here, John. And which one are you signing with?
This is a very good race. I think it's between Baltic Knight and Alonso de Souza. Baltic Knight is a very decent horse. It's got Ryan Moore on the saddle for Richard Hannon. But, you know, it doesn't win all that often. Very frequently runs runs well at Kempton, but he's been beaten in decent company, admittedly, on the last two occasions. Probably did the best when 5th of 12 in the Hyde Stakes. The champion jockey will be, well, not the champion jockey, he disappeared at the end of a crucial campaign last autumn, but I mean, he's top notch, world-class jockey, Ryan Moore in the saddle. So I think Baltic Knight will go well. But I like Alonso D'Souza, trained, of course, now by the man with the magic wand, David O'Meara, ridden by Danny Tudhope, who started this season, you know, just as he ended last. He's a very, very good jockey, Danny Tudhope. Ice cool, very strong in the finish. Now, Alonso D'Souza showed form for Aidan O'Brien, and I thought ran a pretty eye-catching race in the Winter Derby trial at Lingfield only last Saturday. The winner was Grand Desar, who actually won, you know, cosily, but a blanket could have covered the next sort of four or five. Alonso D'Souza was six in that contest. I don't know whether he's stayed down south, but he's come back again fairly quickly, and I think the O'Meara magic will work again. So Alonso D'Souza is my choice there.
Okay, just one more to mention in there, John. The Rectifier, purely because he won the race last year, was quite highly tried in some decent races, including running in the Cambridge last time we saw him. If he has a going day, he'd be involved, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would. I'm glad you mentioned that. I thought time's running out rather quickly, so I cut it down to two. But the Rectifier, yes, has got a very fair chance. And Adam Kirby is booked to ride, which I always think is interesting at Kempton because he rides the course marvellously well. Slightly disappointing in the Cambridgeshire, but yes, won this race last year, has to have a chance. And then, if we've got a moment to mention one other, I think we've got T. Blossom in the race, who is an interesting runner. Joe Fanning, I think, in the saddle. And T. Blossom was a winner in France, won a maiden at Maison Lafitte, unplaced at Chantilly next time, but, you know, is lurking at the bottom of the field. So it's a very competitive race. I'm hoping that the North will take it with Alonso D'Souza.
Okay. Just one more thing that's caught my eye, John. Just when you were saying that Adam Kirby taking the ride, the last time Adam Kirby rode the Rectifier was when he won this race last year.
Yes.
So that's another eye catcher.
Well, it is. And the Rectifier might well repeat. Yeah. So there's absolutely no question. It's a fascinating race. There's only about six runners, but yeah. None of them are basically out of it.
No, it should be good. Let's have a quick summary then, John, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Well, we're going, first of all, to a win counter for the 3:10. I'm with Sun Wildlife for Robert Walford. The next, we're off to Bangor for the 3:55, and the choice there's the top one, Good to Know, and in a highly competitive 6:45, I remain loyal to David O'Meara and Alonso D'Souza, but it is very, very tricky.
Yes, good work, John. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. Stephen Powell, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott will be the team in the studio. It's Bangor and Wincanton in the afternoon and evening action on the Polytrack at Kempton. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.